What's up, friends? I'm Candace Kelly, and welcome to episode 13 of Mental Cement, the show where we talk to outstanding people to find out how you can go from ordinary to extraordinary in business and in life. Today's guest is going to talk to us all about what it really means to be a millennial, all about finding your passion, going against the grain, and doing something different, even if your loved ones don't really understand it. Now, fair warning, today's episode, it gets pretty real. We hold nothing back in this convo. So make sure you strapped in tight and enjoy this week's guest, Alicia Parker Smith. Alicia, welcome to the Mental Cement Podcast. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing now?
Okay, cool. So my name is Alicia Parker Smith. I grew up as a military child, so I don't have a true hometown. But I did spend quite a bit of time in Fayetteville, so I kind of claim Fayetteville NC, home of J. Cole as well. So that's where I'm from. I went to college at North Carolina State University. I studied communications there, concentrated in public relations, had some really cool opportunities to do some internships around public relations while in college, and just general communications, different disciplines within it. And now I work at an account specialist at a strategic communications agency in downtown Raleigh.
Awesome. So Alicia, what got you into that type of work that you're doing now?
Great question. So the 16-year-old version of myself had no idea that I would be in communications. A lot of schools, they have STEM focused programs, and so that's what I was doing. I was in a computer academy in high school. I knew I did not want to do that professionally, but I started having an interest towards STEM, specifically genetics. And so I started at NC State with the intent to major in genetics and do research. I had the opportunity to do biochemistry research while I was in high school, and I loved it. It's very demanding, time demanding, but it was an awesome experience. When you go to a large university like I did, they have this thing called weed out classes. And so those are like your intro level, like bio, math, and chem classes that are like 150, 200 people. And the whole purpose is to weed people out. They're intentionally hard for no reason, just to kind of make people who are not really serious about majoring and are studying that discipline to quit. And so it worked on me. I was in my second round of bio classes, and I was like, this is not my thing. I'm not with it. I need something else. And so growing up, I loved public speaking. And I also had recently found out about a show called Scandal. And so this really cool character on TV, her name is Olivia Pope. I'm sure everyone's familiar with that show. And I just loved how her character just came into a room and she would speak, and she would just, it was like she was what is the person who leads an orchestra?
Oh, the conductor?
Yes, a conductor. Thank you. It was like she was a conductor of, it's just amazing. And I kind of thought, I was like, I kind of want to be like her in some kind of way, not necessarily with politics, but I had a conversation with a high school teacher one winter break when I was home. You know how people go home, they visit their high school teachers, the ones that they liked.
Right.
Let me add that in. And we had a conversation. I was telling her about, how I didn't think STEM was for me and how I kind of had this interest in communications at the time. That's what I that was the breadth of my understanding. And so she was like, you know what? You seem like communications seems like it's your thing. And I could see you rocking that world way more than I could see you in the STEM world because it fits you. And so I was like, yeah, I think you're right. So I decided to stick with communications and pursue that and end up graduating with a bachelor's degree in May.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. And
thank
yes,
you.
Olivia Pope is one of the coolest characters I've ever seen on TV.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so interesting. Was there anything that was sort of stigmatizing, right? Because I'm also a communications major at UNC Charlotte. And so a lot of times people are like, oh, one, they don't know what it is. They think it's the same as broadcasting and journalism, which it isn't, but it uses some of the same skill set. And then also people think, well, STEM is harder, so it must be better. And it's just a different skill set. But were there any people who said, no, like you need to stay in STEM, there's money in there, you're wasting an opportunity. Did you get any of that?
Absolutely, from the good old parentals, which isn't a surprise. So, you know, a lot of people, I feel this is my perspective, and I'm not a parent, so I could be 100% wrong. But I think most parents, when they start to kind of advise their children what degree or what career to pursue, it's typically because they want their child to have some kind of lucrative career that will be able to help them support themselves in a in like America, we're a capitalist society. So like, it's important to make money if you want to have some kind of livelihood here and some kind of standard of living. So I think, you know, the heart of my parents, their heart was just, they wanted me to be taken care of. And they wanted to make sure that I entered a career and pursued something where I was able to support myself. And there is a stigma around communications. You know, I was having a conversation with my dad the other day and he was like, I still don't understand what you do. And I'm like, Dad, well, there's, you know, there's a couple different things that I do. And it's just funny because, you know, they pushed me so hard to focus on STEM or computer science or something that's more so like the big bucks kind of careers. And so there is a stigma, but the cool thing that I've learned, and I've talked to some, you know, some of my friends from college, when you go to college, you kind of go into college. Well, some people who start college pursuing something like biology, or they want to go to med school, and it's really as a way to honor their parents. But when you're in college, this thing called life happens, and you start to understand that you really have to take your life into your own hands, and you can't live life for other people. And so that's kind of helped me, having that realization has helped me, like, okay, yes, my parents might not completely understand what I do, or they might not be 100% supportive and would have rather I pursued something different, but my life is my life. And at the end of the day, I have to pursue what's going to make me happy and what I feel my calling and purpose is.
Amen to that. And it's so scary to do that. And yes, that's why a lot of people don't do that until they're in their 40s and they're like, I should have did it earlier.
For sure.
And I'm interested to know, how did you know it was your passion? Because people say, oh, you know, follow your passion. But I mean, a lot of people, especially in college, where they'll say, oh, well, I don't even know what I want to do. You know, I'm good at this, so I'm just going to do it. But I don't even know if this is my passion or not. How did you know for sure, you know, this is what you want to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I am a 20-something, so, you know, I don't have life figured out yet. I just know that this makes more sense for the skills and strengths that I have than STEM did. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with StrengthsFinders 2.0, my top five strengths are futuristic, command, ideation, responsibility, and focus. And so I love big picture. I love communicating ideas. I love being an orator. And, you know, being in a research lab for 14, 16-hour days, like that was kind of the path I was pursuing. That doesn't really give me as many opportunities as, you know, pursuing a career within the communications world and PR industry. So I don't know if this is like my calling. I don't personally think that this is my calling. I feel like, you know, you probably wanted me to say that answer, but, you know, I'm still young, still figuring it out. I do feel, you know, long-term, I love ownership. I love the idea of entrepreneurship. So that's why I'm also excited to be able to be a guest on your podcast. And I feel like being a woman, I don't know, just my personal philosophy, I feel like women really have no option but to be entrepreneurs. I know not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur, but that's my personal philosophy. You know, instead of trying to fit in the lanes of everyone else, okay, we should just create our own lane. And so long-term, I have a bigger passion of being an entrepreneur and really, you know, creating a platform and developing an infrastructure for people who will live 200 years after I'm gone, for them to be able to have some kind of system to sustain their life and create and grow and make their own dreams a reality.
I love that. And I really want to talk about that because I feel like as millennials, as women, we're often misunderstood and kind of put in this category of they just don't want to work, right? I've had so many people tell me like, that's great and all, you're doing this podcast thing, but what job are you going to get? Like, what are you going to do? You have to work. And it's not that you don't want to work. It's you want to work for yourself. You want to do something that enlivens you. You don't want to wake up and go to the same job with the same people doing something you hate for 40 years. At least I don't.
Same. So,
like, I'd love to really have this dialogue about millennials, what is something that you feel like people often misunderstand about our generation?
Yeah, I think, you know, before we start talking about millennials, I think it's important to think about the time that we have the opportunity to be in our teens and 20s, mm-hmm. like during this time period. And so, you know, we're in a world where people, you know, we're in a world where a 12-year-old is a millionaire, right? That didn't really exist when our parents were growing up. So I don't really fault people for not understanding. I just recognize that there's some lack of knowledge in their like perspective and the way they view the world, which is totally fine. We don't have to view the world the same. But we live in a world where a 12-year-old can be a millionaire. We live in a world where someone who can be couch surfing, I think, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Tai Lopez and his story, but he was like couch surfing in some random town in North Carolina, I believe. And then now he lives the life that he lives. And so we live in a world where that is a reality. And so it allows everyday people, the internet has really created a place. It's even the playing field. And this might sound slightly radical. And girl, if I sound super radical, like you could be like, you know, you sound crazy right now, but I feel like the internet leveled the playing field where it's no longer like your gender no longer matters, your race no longer matters, your socioeconomic status of your family no longer matters. Everyone is at an equal playing field, and the people who take opportunity and make the most of that end up succeeding, like the Tai Lopez's and the DJ. Well, DJ Khaled was, you know, a thing before Snapchat, but you know what I'm saying,
right?
You know? So I think it's awesome that millennials are really understanding this. And I think as time goes on, more people will be doing it. And I know a lot of people who, you know, when it comes to like social media influencers, and, you know, it's not that these are anybody's, they're not anyone special. I mean,
right.
They're great people, I'm sure, but they're people who have used this opportunity for their advantage, and this opportunity being the internet. And so that's the kind of time period we live in. And so for people who don't understand it, well, it's just their perspective of the world. But people who do get it, like you and I, we just understand like we're in an innovative time period, and the people who take advantage of this innovation period and the people who create and innovate, you know, like the economy is going to have a very interesting, like the economy is going to be pretty interesting in the next couple of years. So the people who really take advantage of the opportunity to be an entrepreneur in this time period, I really feel are going to have a leg up in a couple of years. So, but that's just my opinion. That's radical.
No, I definitely get it. And I think people are often like, y'all spend too much time on Facebook, but like you can run a $1 million business from Facebook.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. No website included. Like there's so many opportunities, and people assume it's just wasting time, or, you know, a real business is brick and mortar. It's like, not exactly.
No, but it does matter. I will say for, you know, people listening, it does matter how you access these platforms. If you access Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, if you access them with a consumer mindset, then yes, you might as well just be wasting time. But when you learn how to access these platforms from an entrepreneurial perspective, then it completely changes the game.
And I love your focus on like, these are just everyday people. Like it's not someone who, you know, was the first person to ever use the internet, right? It's anybody, it's people like us. And what would you say to someone who maybe is listening and they're like, yeah, girl, I hear you and all, but like, I'm not an entrepreneur. You know, I could never, like, I need someone to tell me what to do. Like, what advice would you give to them if they feel like they can never do this?
Ah, girl, you put me in a corner with that question. Do you want my real answer, or do you want my like friendly answer?
Be real, might as well, right?
Like I said earlier, I believe that this is kind of radical, I believe that any minority, any marginalized group, women, et cetera, et cetera, the list can go on. I feel like we have no option but to be an entrepreneur. However, I understand that entrepreneurship is not for everyone, because it doesn't matter if you're doing a brick and mortar or if you started some kind of business through an online platform, through social media. Entrepreneurship, period, is hard. Mm-hmm. There's ebbs and flows of entrepreneurship, so ups and downs. And if you don't know the why, like why do you even want to be an entrepreneur in the first place? If you don't know that why, then challenges will knock you out of the game completely. And so I don't remember who said this. It's a very radical perspective, but you know, they're like, some guy said, he's an entrepreneur. He said, if you don't know why you want to be an entrepreneur, don't even get started, because you're not going to make it, right? And you have all these theories about, you know, it takes typically 5 years for a business to see any kind of revenue. That kind of sort of depends on the kind of business model that you're using, but it takes time. It's like you're planting, I don't know anything about farming, but I'm about to throw in a farming analogy. Hopefully it's accurate, but you know, you're planting seeds and you have to wait for, you know, whatever they sprout, and that takes time. And then you have the harvest season, and the harvest season, it requires a lot of work. So being an entrepreneur, you're not signing up for a 40-hour work week. You're signing up for, you know, potentially a 45, 80-hour work week, because when you're developing the foundation for whatever kind of business you want to start, that's when that's the part that takes the most work. Mm-hmm. Later down the road, however, you get to live a different kind of lifestyle, if you will, from reaping the benefits of being an entrepreneur, but it's hard. And for people who are not 100% sure, I would just encourage you, think about why you find interest in being an entrepreneur, why you might want to become one, and kind of solidify your why, and then start figuring out the what and how, because the what and how don't matter as much as the why. If your why isn't clear, if it's not there, or, you know, it might even change throughout the process, but if it's not strong enough to get you started, you might not make it. I'm sorry, that's so mean, but.
No, definitely. And I really appreciate that. And I think that's so true, because, you know, if you look around, there's so many gurus, right? Internet marketers, they're like, oh, you need these three steps, like 30 days. And like, yeah, it might take 30 days for it to make money, but it probably took 3 years to set it up, right? And that's the part that nobody talks about, and people assume that it's supposed to be easy. And that's why when it gets hard, everyone starts freaking out. Like, who told you it's going to be easy? It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard because you're building something that hasn't existed before. And so, and on the part of why, there's a really great book that I read by Simon Sinek that's called Start With Why.
Yes, girl. Love that book.
That is an amazing book. If you haven't read it, please check it out, because it outlines what that even means, how to build an organization with the why in the center. It talks about some great case studies as to companies like Apple, right? Like, you think of Apple, you know what they stand for, and you know they're about more than just phones, versus Dell, you're like, okay, they make computers, I guess. Like, you don't really have that same strong sense of purpose around their product. And that is so important. And I'm really glad you brought that up.
Exactly. And there's a really cool book called Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy. If anyone's also listening and is thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, or you're in the beginning stages of your entrepreneur journey, that is a great book that I kind of referenced it as I've been speaking so far. Mm-hmm. It's a great book to read.
Definitely. And I do want to say that even though it's hard, even though it takes a long time, that doesn't mean it's not worth doing, right? Anything that's worth doing is going to be worth fighting for. And absolutely. If you know, I got to have a better life for my kids, I got to get out of corporate, I got to be my own boss, just go for it. You're not supposed to know everything when you're going into it, and just honor the struggle. Like Brendon Burchard says, honor the struggle and know that it's going to be difficult, and know that you have resources, you have a community, you have people there for you who've done it, who can help you get to the next level.
Exactly. No, I love it. I love it. Embrace the suck. That's how I say it.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Alicia was tons of fun to talk to. And if you want to continue this conversation and weigh in on what you think is the truth about how to pick your passion, pick your career, what to do, the millennial convo, join us over on our Facebook community at Mental Cement. And let us know your thoughts about the episode and how you decided what path was right for you. Be sure to tune in next week, as we have tons of awesome goodies ahead, and I won't spoil it, but there may be a freebie in it for you. So be sure to check us out next Sunday right here at Mental Cement.